brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Welcome to Book Hype. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Marima and Karen. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
All right. And this week, we are finally going to discuss Isla and the Happily Ever After, which I am so excited about. I tried to write a review for this one, and I had such a hard time because I couldn't put into, like, words on a page my love for this story. So hopefully I can, like, be coherent when we're talking about it. I make no promises, though. Before we start with all of that good stuff, though, let's talk a little bit about maybe some things that we have been reading over the last week. Karen, do you want to start?
Yeah, I just finished Isla, so that one, well, I was going to say that one took up some time, but it really didn't because I read it, like, really, really fast and stayed up till 3 a.m. one morning, which was really, really lucky I didn't have to go into work the next day. But the other book that I read was Blackbird by Anna Carey, and I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, but it was written in second person, and that just didn't really do anything for me. It kind of took me out of the story, which is funny because that's a pretty personal perspective. But I don't know. It was just, it was strange. And I like the concept of it, and the last few chapters got really, really good and intense, so now I kind of want to read the second book. So I'm feeling very conflicted about it right now.
That is rough when you're like, I am, but I'm not, but yeah that's rough. And I have to tell everybody, Karen may or may not have been sending me angry, very late night Facebook messages as she's reading Isla. Like, how could you make me read this? I can't go to sleep. Do you know what time it is? And I'm like, yes, I do.
I'm really sorry about that.
Because you're messaging me. I'm fully aware. And I did happen to be awake, which was even more disturbing.
You didn't answer me till the next morning. How rude.
Oh, no, wait. Maybe I wasn't awake then. I thought I was. That I wasn't awake. I've been having, like, lots of insomnia lately. It's been really bad. But, yeah. I was like, oh, look. Karen's not happy with
Karen
me.
Karen's
up really late.
15 messages in a row.
I got up. I'm like, what the? And I'm like, oh, she's just reading and can't get out of the book. It's fine. Yeah, so that's awesome. Marima, you want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the things you've been reading?
Sure. I think last time I was on, I had just started Every Word by Ellie Marney, which is that, like, modern Sherlock Holmes Australian series, which is really cool. So that's the second book, and I really, really enjoyed it. I highly recommend that series. It's just really fun, and I'm pretty sure you can, like, order it internationally. You have to go to the publisher's website. And then I also read Burial Rites by Hannah Kent, and that is because, guys, I am now in a real life, be in the same country, be in the same room as each other book club. And
what now?
Yeah,
I
know.
Cheated on, Karen. Do you feel cheated on?
A little bit.
Well, I mean, you guys are far away, and, like, I have book needs, so, you know.
So you're not fulfilling your needs. I see how it is.
Right.
You're not satisfied enough with us? God.
Well, anyway, you guys can continue to be offended, but Burial Rites is actually really good. I would recommend it. It's an adult book, so it's about the last woman to be executed in Iceland. It's historical fiction, and I really, really enjoyed it. It's by an Australian author. It's won a lot of awards. It just came out earlier this year, I want to say. So yeah, definitely recommend that. And then yesterday I read Afterworlds by Scott Westerfeld, and I didn't love it. I haven't read anything that he's written before. Like, I didn't read his Uglies, is it? Hit that series?
Yeah.
The Pretties, Uglies. Yes. Yeah, I didn't read that. So I kind of didn't really know what I was getting. But Afterworlds was a book that I was really, really excited for. It had this really cool concept. It was about the author who wrote the book. And then in alternating chapters, it was like the book that she was writing. So I was like, oh, that's cool. But I feel like even though the concept was really fun, the execution was just not there with it. And someone on Twitter told me that like they had a similar complaint about his other ride. So I don't know if that's just like a Westerfeld thing or if that's an Afterworlds thing. It's definitely worth checking out though. It's about a girl who like gets a book deal and moves to New York and kind of gets into the young adult book scene. And it's funny to read it because you're like, oh, like this is the John Green character and like this is the so-and-so character. Like you can definitely pull, he's pulled inspiration from real life authors and some of them are more obvious than others. And then in the alternating chapters, it's this book that she wrote, which is about a girl is the only survivor of a terrorist attack, and then she develops these like powers to be able to see ghosts and stuff. It's a little like Maureen Johnson's book where like you have a near-death experience and then you can see ghosts, the Shades series. Yeah, so I was like, oh, this, okay, which was weird because they spent the entire book being like, oh my god, this is so unique, like no one has ever had a thought like this before. And I was like, probably just bad timing, but that series just came out, so that's awkward. But yeah, I would be interested. I want other people to read it so that I can like find out what they thought. I don't think it's out yet. I think it's out in like maybe September or October or November, one of those months that are yet to come in this year. And then I also read this week Sisters by Raina Telgemeier, and that's a graphic novel. She writes really, really fun books, kind of semi-autobiographical. She wrote Smile, which was about like her having all her like teeth knocked out and having like braces and all of this and, you know, teenage angst. And she wrote Drama, which was about a high school like drama club and again like angst. And this one's about her relationship with her sister, and it's really, really cute. The books are not that long. I really love her illustrations. They're really clever and the writing is really clever. So I don't know if like you're interested in checking out a graphic novel and you like young adult, her books are a really good place to start. And like she's won a lot of awards, so she's very, very highly regarded. And again, I'm not sure if that one's out yet, but it's definitely out in the next couple months, if not. But like she has a couple others out that you could go and check out if you felt so inclined. So yeah, that's my week.
Very fun. Is Sisters is the one I got you at BEA, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. All right. So for me this week, I read an adult book, and it's by one of my favorite authors called Deanna Rayburn. And I've talked about this before, the Lady Julia Gray series. This is a new book. It's not part of the Lady Julia Gray series. And it's set like in the early 1900s, like, and it's called Night of a Thousand Stars. And there are some surprises in this book that I don't want to give away because they're surprises. But they're really cool. And if you liked the Lady Julia Gray series, it goes back to that vibe of a lady detective and her being very kind of not fit for the time period she's in. Like, she's way stronger than any female should be, and she's way more curious than any female should be for the time period, and she's very sexually aware, and she's just a really sassy heroine that's super fun to read. I love her books. I love the way Deanna Rayburn writes women, and, you know, the plots and the mysteries are always super good. You never know who did it, kind of thing. So definitely check out A Night of a Thousand Stars that comes out at the end of September. Check out all of her books because I love everything she's written. The other one I read was Unmade by Sarah Reese Brennan. It is the final book, I believe, in her latest Unspoken, the Lynn Bourne Legacy series. It's pretty good. I love Sarah Reese Brennan's writing, but this series wasn't my favorite as a whole. Like, I liked it, but it felt a little too much in some places. Like, some places I just got lost in the dialogue and the banter. Like, it was almost too much and not enough story. So I'll be interested to see what others think of that book. And then the last book I read was called Forget Me by K.A. Harrington. I may have mentioned this before, but this is a really cool psychological thriller kind of book. It's set in a small town in New England. And I actually know K.A. Harrington. She's written other books as Kim Harrington. She lives not too far away from me. And she's super fun. And she wrote this book, and it's It's super cool. It's very intense and creepy. And it's about this girl who loses her boyfriend, and she's uploaded a picture of him that she had to like a website, and it says, it recognizes him and says she should tag him as this other person. And the girl has no idea what's going on because that's not the person he's supposed to be, and the boyfriend is dead. So in her mind, this boy is dead, but the boy they're saying that she should tag is very much alive. And so this mystery kind of unravels around that whole situation, and it's just kind of really cool. So that's what I've been reading. Just as a reminder to all our listeners, Audible has a fantastic service where you guys can check out audible.com and get a free book of your choice. So this week, of course, we're going to recommend Isla and the Happily Ever After, or if you haven't read that one, Anna and the French Kiss or Lola and the Boy Next Door. They are all available and they are all fantastic. So again, check out audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Okay, so let's finally talk about Isla. I feel like I read this book ages ago and I've been dying to talk about it ever since, and we haven't been able to do it.
That's
So
because you did read it ages ago, and so did I.
yeah, we all did. We all read it before Comic-Con, except for Karen, who read it a couple weeks
Karen did
ago
not.
Yeah.
and sent me hate text messages. But to be fair, Karen had to catch up and read Anna and Lola, and she did that really quickly.
Yeah.
So I was pretty impressed with Karen's like willingness to be like, all right, I'm gonna read them all because you guys said they're good. And
Aww.
she maybe kind of fell in love with Anna and the French
So
Kiss.
I want Karen to do like a little mini review of what she thought of Anna and Lola first, then,
All right,
like
let's do
before we
it,
do
Karen.
Isla.
Let's do it.
Okay, sure. I really loved Anna and the French Kiss. It was a really good start. I wasn't sure what I was getting into with these books because they're not usually, they're not the type of books that I usually read, and I don't think I would have picked them up on my own if you guys hadn't recommended them. But I'm really glad that you did because they ended up being really fantastic. I think with Anna and the French Kiss, it dragged on a little bit for me toward the end, but I think that was because I was so invested that I just wanted it to come to a conclusion and for everyone to be really happy. And then Lola felt very similar to Anna for me, except I don't know, the beginning of that one dragged, and then the latter half got a lot better. And I really ended up liking Lola as a character, even though I feel like she was very dramatic. Which, is just part of her. But other than that, I thought she was really interesting and I liked how unique of a person she was. So I ended up really enjoying that book as well.
So what did you think about like the characters in comparison? I guess we actually we'll save that one and we'll all talk about that perhaps. So for you guys, is this a buy or a borrow? I mean, this isn't even really a question, I don't think, but
This is definitely a buy. I've read it. And I have the like ebook version of it that I was sent, and I am still gonna go and buy it. Like, I've already read this book at least 3 times. I already own it, and I'm still like, okay, I need to buy this immediately.
Yeah.
So yeah, I loved it. Get it, Isla? Ha ha ha. That joke would work better in print. yeah, definitely buy. Duh, what? Buy it. Like, this is not a
I was
conversation,
like, this isn't even
obviously.
really a question, I don't think, for any of us. I think we all feel that you should, but this is definitely a buy book. I mean, clearly, if you've already read Anna and Lola, you need to have Isla. You need to complete that beautiful set.
Yeah.
Exactly. And if not, then you need to go out and buy Anna immediately.
Yeah. I'm really glad, Marima, that you said that you owned like several copies of it because I was gonna be like, okay, not to be traumatic, but you should like buy 10 copies of this book and then make all of your friends buy 10 copies because it's that good and she
Oh,
deserves
yeah.
lots of book sales.
Yeah, and Isla actually made the New York Times bestselling list, and that's her first, I think it's her first book to hit the list, which
Aww.
is amazing. But I
Yeah.
mean, people waited a really long time for Isla. For Stephanie Perkins, who's the author, there were a couple things that were happening in her life that made writing Isla really hard. And so it got pushed off a couple of years, and so finally we got Isla this year, and it's such a fantastic book, and I'm really glad that she didn't rush it or didn't try to force it, because I don't think the book would have been as fantastic if you kind of get forced into trying to finish it because you have a deadline. Do you know what I mean? So I'm really grateful that Penguin was like, no, you know, this, it has to be right. And, you know, her story has to be told the way it's supposed to be told, which is awesome. So here comes the next question. So where does it rank for you compared to Anna and Lola? Like, on a personal level, what would be your order of the three books?
Karen?
Go first.
Because you have the most fresh in your mind. You just read them.
Okay, that was a weak excuse, but okay. honestly, I think Isla is, I mean, like I said, I liked Anna, I liked Lola. Isla is by far the best out of the three. It was like 10 times better, and we'll get into it when we talk about like the plot and the structure, why I ended up liking it a lot more, but it's different from the other two in the best way possible.
Okay, Marima.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I think it's a little harder because, like you said, people who have been following her work have been waiting a really long time for Isla. And in that time, we've mainly been rereading Anna. I always liked Anna more than Lola. I didn't dislike Lola, but I don't know. The Anna storyline always just interested me a little more. But I have to say, I agree with Karen, like, probably the first time I read Isla, I still would have said I preferred Anna, but after rereading it, like, it's just a better book. She's definitely developed as a writer, and it deals with kind of more mature issues, and I think as the characters have grown, like, so has she, and it really shows in the book. And that's not to say that there's anything wrong with Anna or with Lola, but it's like a nice reward in a way for readers who have stuck with it, because you get to Isla and, like, it's just a really fantastic book. And honestly, like, you don't need to read the other two to enjoy it. Like, they're companion books. Yeah. They're not sequels. And they really are structured like that. They're little glimpses of the other characters that, you know, if you haven't read the others, maybe are not as enjoyable. But that's like a tiny little part of the book. So, yeah, definitely for me now, I would say Isla, then Anna, then Lola.
Yeah. And see, I'm so torn because when I read Anna and the French Kiss, I was very much like Karen. I picked up the book thinking, oh, I don't know if this is my thing, but there had been so much buzz about it. It had just come out, and I happened to be at a bookstore. I was like, all right, I'm just going to pick it up and see what this is all about. And I did, and I got home, and I started it like that night at like 10, thinking, oh, I'll just read it a little bit before I go to bed. At 3 a.m. when I finished, because I kept like reading it and rereading it and being like, oh my god, this is like, I was just so in awe of the book itself. Like, it was crazy. So there's a part of me that is, I will always love Anna because it introduced me to Stephanie Perkins' work. It was her first book. And there's something for me that like connects with Anna, or the people in her world, that's different from the other books because the same people aren't populated in all books. But I love Anna, but I do. Isla is just, there's something really brilliant about Isla as well. And like the opening scene where she's at the cafe totally drew me in. The second I started reading her, I knew that she was very different from the other characters. And I enjoyed that so much. And just meeting Isla, I was like, oh my god. I think I even messaged you, Marima. I'm like, oh my god, I've read like a chapter and I'm in love with Isla. Like, she's amazing.
Yeah.
And, I felt like the same way, because her voice, like you said, it was really distinct, but like, and I think all of the characters sort of talk like we talk. Like, that's one of the greatest things about Stephanie Perkins and the way that she writes, is that all the characters are really relatable. But Isla, she just, the way that she said things is just how I say things. And she's so funny. I laughed so much during this book. And I, you know, did those really embarrassing little giggles when you get like really happy and things are cute. It was so good.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I would have to agree with you, Jen. Like, Anna will always have a special place in my heart because I had the same thing, especially because of that book cover. Man, that is the worst book cover I've ever seen. Like, someone, I showed it to one of my friends the other day and she was like, this looks like the DVD cover of the straight to DVD movie starring like Mary-Kate and Ashley. And I was like, that is so accurate.
That I'm is, surprised like, you even picked it up with that cover.
Honestly, it was I had the same thing. I just had heard so much buzz about this book. So many people had been recommending it that I really respected their opinion. And I was like, oh, but it looks so dumb. Like, it just looks terrible. And I was like, no, you know what? I'll give it a shot. So I read it in my house because I didn't want anyone to see me reading that terrible book cover. I've since given those books away, actually, because I have the pretty new ones, courtesy of Jen. But, you know, that's fine. Someone else can read the embarrassing book cover. But, yeah, it did take me a long time to pick it up because of that. It's not really my thing either, the sort of romantic whatever. But Stephanie Perkins is just seriously great. So who cares?
Very.
Write more things, please.
I know. Like, please, I need more.
She's obviously listening to this, so.
Obviously. She also is, well, she's coming up, she's written like this horror slasher kind of teen book, I guess.
Yes.
So I'm kind of super excited to read that. I'm like,
oh, yes, me too.
I can't wait. So I'm really excited for that as well. And then I think she's a short story in the, yeah, she does have a short story in the anthology called, oh, I was reading it like a couple weeks ago.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The one she edited. She has.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't remember the name of it. I can see the cover of it and I can't remember the name. I'm so sorry, everyone. We'll refer back to the notes that we had from a couple weeks ago. So let's talk a little bit about characters. Isla, for me, was very different from Anna, who Anna's circumstances were that she was a senior in high school, and Daddy, who is an author, decides that in order to make things look like, you know, like he's wealthy and on the up and up with his new fancy author friends, his daughter should go to school in Paris. So he ships his daughter off for her senior year of high school to the American school in Paris. Isla, on the other hand, is a girl who grew up in a multicultural home. Her mom is French. Her dad is American. She lives in New York City, and she chooses to go to the American school in Paris. She speaks fluent French, and I didn't speak any French. So it's a very different dynamic, I think, between those two characters that we're introduced to, because both of them... both of their stories take place at the American school in Paris. And then Lola was completely different because her story was set in San Francisco. So what did you guys think about Isla? What was it that drew you in about Isla?
I don't know what it was. I think Isla is maybe, I saw the most of myself in Isla as opposed to like the other two characters. I really, first of all, before I say anything, I have to say I loved her parents so much. Like, they were so great when we saw them, and her mom and everything. I was like, oh, like, these are the best, especially because, in Anna anyway, the family life was somewhat dysfunctional. But, yeah, Isla, she just seemed, I don't know, I really liked the way that she was portrayed as, like, this girl who seemed very, like, naive and innocent and whatever, and... you know, like Stephanie Perkins made a point of being like, yeah, she wears high heels and she wears dresses all the time. And so all of these things build up together into this image of this girl who in any other book might be like this very like, yeah, you know, naive, innocent, whatever. But she really wasn't in this. And, you know, I think that showed a lot in her relationship with Josh, but also like her relationship with Kurt that I really, really liked. And she just seemed like very layered and yeah, like a little more mature than the others that we've seen so far, and just super interesting and like really fun. And you just wanted to hang out with her because, like Karen said, you're like, I talk like this, we could be friends with each other. She was just adorable. I loved her.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with all of that. Just the way that she talked, her personality, she was quiet and yet she was fairly confident in herself. I mean, not in every aspect of her life, but she she was comfortable in her own skin, I think. And she was just a good friend and a good person. And she was just, I mean, she was so real. I think that's what it really boils down to, is that all of the characters in Stephanie Perkins's books just feel so real that you could be friends with them. And I think that's really important when you're reading about characters who are about the same age as you are. You know, you want to connect with them. You want to believe that they're real, because it just makes the story that much better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think what I liked so much about these stories as a whole is that each girl has a very different set of experiences and a very different little, like, quirks about them. Like, Anna's a little OCD, and she doesn't really know where she's, you know, she's been thrown in this country where she doesn't even really speak the language. She doesn't know anybody, and she has to learn how to survive that. You know, Lola is this fashionista who dresses crazy and is kind of all over the place, and yet she has this boy next door thing, and it's, you know, trying on this other relationship she has. And then Isla has had this crush forever on Josh. And what happens when you come face to face with your crush and kind of have to deal with that or figure it out? Do you know what I mean? And I think that's why I kind of liked each one of them. And Isla was also she was comfortable in Paris and being at school and doing what needed to be done. But I don't know if she was always comfortable in her own skin and comfortable with how others felt about her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because that was one of my things with Isla, was that she doubted everything all the time. Everything made her really self-conscious. Everything made her doubt, like, how others felt about her or cared for her. And to the extent that they did it, she doubted everything, and she kind of pushed all of that off as much as she could, and she kind of let doubt consume her at points. So that was my only thing with her.
Well, but that was kind of the point of the character.
Right. I know, but that was, like, the one character aspect that just, there were times I wanted to shake her. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you ever read something or watch something and you're like, what is wrong with you? Like,
that's how I felt about Anna. I think that's maybe why, I mean, I loved Anna, but I had a lot of issues with that book for several reasons. And I feel like, I don't know, for me, I feel like Isla was comfortable in her own skin. I mean, not in every aspect of her life, but I think that she was comfortable with, you know, her studies and her grades. She was very intelligent. She had a best friend. She didn't necessarily feel like she had to have other friends. I mean, that was kind of an issue sometimes, but she was perfectly happy having Kurt there. I mean, he was like the one person that she could always rely on, and she felt fine with that. And I think that toward the end of the book, it became more obvious how much she did doubt herself. But in the beginning in particular, I just liked that she was the soft-spoken person in general to, you know, like, the public eye. But once you, like, the way that she talked to her friends, she was very open and she seemed a lot more confident.
Yeah, no, definitely. So why don't we talk about Josh a little bit? Because in every book, we have the, you know, female heroine and then the male kind of counterpart. And in this case, it was Josh. So Josh, we met originally in Anna and the French Kiss. And we kind of saw a lot of Josh. He was Etienne's best friend. So he was very involved in the whole Etienne-Anna debacle that it was for a while. So what do you guys think of Josh as a character?
I loved him so much. It's funny because in a lot of books, I kind of like the bad boy. You know, you know this, Jen. You know, I know that you like the broken boys and, you know, the ones that are, like, all bad and, you know, dark and mysterious and angsty. And then in the end, they kind of, like, you know, get better, or they do things for the girl that they're with that kind of, like, brings them forward and stuff. And Josh wasn't, I mean, he had those aspects to them, but I felt like deep down he was this really good guy, and he was kind of emotional sometimes, and I was surprised to see that, because you don't always see those sort of boys portrayed in books. A lot of the times they get angry or they just kind of like, you know, shut down. And he didn't necessarily do that around Isla. And I really appreciated that aspect of that.
Yeah, I always really liked Josh's character in Anna. I always felt like there was a lot more kind of going on with him that we didn't see because, you know, we were so consumed with like Anna and Eddie and like what's going to happen. But Josh was always super interesting to me. And I think he was the most interesting out of the friends that they had there. And so it was really exciting to me that we were going to get to see a lot more of him. And like, I totally agree with everything Karen said. I think, again, Josh was set up as this character who could have very much been this like stereotype of, like the kind of like emo, like dreamy art boy, whatever. And he wasn't like, you know, there were elements of that there. But as I think has become clear through this discussion, there is a lot more going on with her characters than just this one layer. So both Josh and Isla could have been in like any other book, in a book that was not as well written and not as well developed, could have been like pretty dull in a way because, you know, whatever was on the surface layer, that would have been it for them. But there's a lot more going on. Well, I just really like the book that he was writing as a physical way of showing his character development, if that makes sense. Like, it was not only the way that he saw that he had developed, but also like when he does the rewrites of it, it's how he has maybe actually developed throughout the book, throughout Isla itself. So it was just like, that was really interesting to me as like a way to demonstrate that. And I mean, Josh is super great. Like, I really love Josh. He's a really great character.
Yeah, I think what I liked about Josh was that he was so different from, like, Cricket is quirky, Etienne is, you know, Etienne. I don't even know how to describe Etienne. I did love him, but at the same time, I'm like, he was just this boy that couldn't make up his mind in the end, really. I mean, he had a lot going on, too. And I think you make an excellent point when you say her characters just aren't face value. There's so much more to them. You get this whole family backstory and their school backstory and their relationship histories, and it all comes in to make these very well-rounded characters that are so relatable to readers. And I think that is one of the main successes for Stephanie Perkins' books, is that everyone can find someone that they can relate to in her books. There's something there for everybody, and they're so kind of in depth in a sense, I think, that you feel like you're, you know, living amongst the lives a little bit, and it's, you're not like, oh yeah, this girl's gonna kiss this boy, okay, they're gonna go out on this date, great, like, you're not looking for the formulaic kind of story that can be told in these kinds of books, because it's just not there. It's so different. And I really did love Josh. I love Josh for basically all the reasons you said, Marima. There's something very unique about Josh, and who wouldn't want their own little artist boyfriend? He was adorable. So there was, I really liked Josh and what he had to offer. And the last person that plays kind of a bigger role in this book is Kurt, who is Isla's best friend. And Kurt's really cool. And the reason I think I liked Kurt so much was that he is Isla's best friend, but he's also like on the autism spectrum. And it's very clear when you're reading, you can kind of pick up on it that he's not quite socially comfortable all the time. And it was handled so well. I mean, I work in the field, and I read a lot of different books with lots of different stuff in it. And sometimes it's not handled really well. And sometimes you'll see things on TV and you're like, what am I watching? Am I watching like, oh, I read a chapter on autism, and oh, look, I'm going to put all the things that should belong in an autism category into this character so that everybody knows. And I didn't feel that way with Kurt. I felt like he was a person and not just this stereotype of a person. And I enjoy that. And it's not the first time Stephanie's put things like that in her books. Clearly Anna had these little OCD tendencies, which kind of crop up every now and then. And it's just, I enjoy that she can include these kind of things and make them real and not stereotypical. What did you guys think about Kurt?
I loved Kurt so much, actually. I loved it. You're right. He was a person. Like, he wasn't this condition that he had. I mean, he was so much more than that. And That point was made a couple of times, but it wasn't harped on. He was never like, oh, this is my friend with autism. It was just like, this is my friend. By the way, he happens to have autism. And I think that was really important to make that distinction. She did it really, really well. And but aside from that, I really loved his personality because he was so honest. And Isla really needed that sometimes. And I think the two of them working together was so great. And I was so happy the way that Josh treated him, because obviously Isla had talked before about her previous boyfriend and how they hadn't got along, and she ended up getting rid of her other boyfriend because, you know, that just wasn't going to work. And Josh always made a conscious effort to make sure that, you know, the situation between the three of them was okay. And I think that's something that should be recognized. And I think especially Isla and Kurt's relationship being completely platonic was really, really important. I mean, how often do you see that in books or even television shows and movies?
That's so true. That's an excellent point. And I totally agree. Yeah, I very much appreciated that fact. And it was stated up front that it was never anything romantic. They'd been friends forever. And it was really just about their friendship. And I loved that aspect of it.
Yeah, I also loved Kurt. Like, everyone just loved everything is a common theme of this podcast.
Yeah, this is a rare, rare day.
Right. Appreciate this, guys, while it happens.
Stephanie Perkins deserves all the awards. People are like, oh, it's just a love fest.
Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, Kurt was just, for all the reasons that you guys have said, Kurt was so great. Kurt was his own character as well. Like, Kurt was not a sidekick to Isla by any means. He had his own things going on, and I liked that, yeah, like you said, he would hold Isla accountable for things, and his kind of straightforward manner, you can see why, even though they've known each other forever, like, why they work as friends. You know, it wasn't like a friendship of convenience or anything like that. It was a real friendship. And I like that, yeah, she made a point of saying, not only did Isla choose Kurt over the last boyfriend, but she chose Kurt over the other girl she had been friends with, whose name I can't remember, who was the little sister of Rashmi. Yeah. And how she was like, well, like, you know, Kurt would never ask me to choose, so I chose Kurt. And I feel like that's very telling about their relationship as well. And I also really liked Kurt's family, the little bit that we saw of them, and how Isla could just go there, like the night that that she broke up with Josh, how she could just go to Kurt's, and, you know, you're like, you really understand that he's really family to her, and that was really sweet. I liked how that was sort of resolved at the end as well, with him kind of getting his own friends outside of her, because even though she might not need other people, like, you know, he did, it turned out. And that was like an interesting kind of inverse of how that would usually play out.
Exactly. And I think it's really cool because he wasn't the same age as Isla, was he? Or was he a year, he was a year behind her.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's really, you know what I mean? So he's going to be there a year without her, which is going to be really hard for him. So it's nice that he did find people who shared a similar interest as him, and they could kind of like talk about the catacombs under the city. And so I loved that. I wouldn't mind a book about Kurt, just to see, because eventually he's going to notice girls. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would love to see what that would look like.
I don't even want that.
I just want Kurt, like, exploring the like, catacombs of the city and
right.
stuff.
And that would be super cool, but I think there's an element to him that he has to have, he's got a bunch of guy friends now. They're not girlfriends. Do you know what I mean? And so for me, it's always fascinating. When...
Did they ever, like, define what Kurt's sexuality was?
They did not. So that he could actually have a boyfriend, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
They said that he liked a girl in, I think, his computer class or something.
And, oh, that's right.
And Isla said something about how he likes girls that are very tall or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, he's very tall, too. Do you know what I mean? And I think the other thing that was really interesting about how Kurt was described is I think so often people think of, like, kids and teens with autism as being really awkward and really dorky and not being attractive. But as Isla describes Kurt, she says, you know, he's attractive. People would think he was my boyfriend, which is the mistake Josh made because he doesn't look any different either. He's just different in general. So I think that that was really interesting, too, to kind of take that route. Because, I think it's a stereotype of how people perceive people with autism. They have a very certain, well, they have to look this way or they have to behave this way. And again, it's out there in the media and it's kind of just what's been perpetuated. But the way she kind of frames it is very different.
I actually was kind of hoping that he'd be asexual because I find that really interesting. And it would have been cool to kind of see how he traversed that, you know. But I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter too much. But a character like that, I think, would have been really different.
But I feel like maybe him being asexual plays into that kind of autism stereotype of like, they're just super awkward and like they can't have relationships kind of thing, where like it's more interesting to me if he is, you know, he like is into, well, in this case, girls like anyone else. And, you know, it's a little harder for him to kind of go and talk to them or like be comfortable in those situations or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like that to me is more interesting than like him being like, oh, I'm, you know, not to say that an asexual character is not interesting, but I just think in terms of like him being on the spectrum, in addition to that, it could be a little problematic in like the representation of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, Kurt had changed a lot during this book as well.
You right. know,
like at the start of the book, he would not have been making friends with those guys and like going off with them without Isla. And right. at the end, and he wouldn't have offered to lie for them like he did at the end. And that was really cute when Josh is like, I won't ask you to lie for us. Like,
yeah.
And Kurt's like, maybe tell the sister though.
That was super cute. I did. Yeah. I love that, how their friendship kind of move forward too, between Kurt and Josh.
Can we talk a little about like the Isla's relationship with her sister?
Sure. I feel
like that was just as important as her relationship with Josh.
And what was her name again? Hattie.
Hattie.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have a book at the moment because I maybe lent it to you guys. And that's why I'm like, oh, I can't remember her name.
Oh, okay. I should have sent you the ebook. And then Jen was the older sister.
Yeah. So Isla was a middle child and she clearly had drastically different relationships with her sisters. So Jen is older and it's a much different, more comfortable kind of companionship with her older sister. And Hattie, she kind of was like the mother hen to Hattie, and Hattie kind of is the one that messes everything up for Isla, and that's hard to forgive, I think, on some level, you know. So what do you guys think of Hattie?
I really, really, really disliked her in the beginning until we found out why she was acting the way she was. And I was like, oh, wow, she's not just, you know, trying to be annoying. Like, she just wants attention. She wants her sister to act like her sister. And I thought in the end, you know, that was so good. And the way they sort of resolved their relationship was really beautiful, actually. And I don't know. It was just, this is what I love about these books. And it was especially apparent to me in Anna and the French Kiss, because these books center on a romantic relationship, but they are so much more than that. And this book really showed you that because of Isla's relationship with Kurt and her sister and a few other people as well. And it was just, you know, people might not want to read these because they're like, oh, I don't want to read, you know, a mushy romantic book. But there's a lot of aspects to it that are really beautifully written that I think people would enjoy, even if they're not huge on the romance.
Yeah. And I think Isla's relationship with Hattie, more than any of the others, really shows us that, you know, Isla is not a super reliable narrator in terms of her perspective on things at times. And the reason that we don't like Hattie at the start is because, like, we're really seeing Isla's point of view and what's happened to Isla. And Isla doesn't really like Hattie at the start. So as that changes, we start seeing a little more empathetic view of her and, you know, she, like you said, she kind of goes through this transition of like just feeling like, oh, she has to look after her because she's going to make a mess of everything and be the mother, versus like being her sister and like being her friend, which was really, really nice to see. And in a way, I think that was the most important change that Isla went through, because if that hadn't resolved itself like that, it really took Hattie to tell her like all of these truths about her for her to believe them. Like, she didn't believe them when Josh said them, and she didn't even really believe them when Kurt said them. But, you know, she's had this very obviously tumultuous relationship with her little sister, and for her to say the things, I guess, you know, she's family, and it's like it's a different kind of relationship. That seemed to be the moment when Isla was actually like, oh, like, I do deserve to like have love, and, you know, I should trust Josh, and I should like blah blah blah, all these things. And and in a way, that was like kind of the critical change, I thought, when I was reading it anyway. So yeah, that was sweet. I really liked that. And like I said, I really enjoyed reading about their home life and Jen, and, you know, I liked how Jen had a girlfriend and like it was just not a big deal, and et cetera. Like, that's always seems to be an element of Stephanie Perkins writing, that, you know, there's like diverse sexuality and no one cares, which is nice. Yeah, that's just really cute. I really enjoyed it.
I really liked how the mom was more upset that Jen cut off all her hair than that she ended up being bisexual. That was amazing.
The mom was the best. Like, she was so great.
Yeah.
She was like, don't you want to see a boyfriend in a tux? Like, what are you doing here? And everyone was like, oh, it's just, she was really sweet. I just really liked them. They were adorable.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing that Stephanie Perkins really does in a lot of her books. She writes really great, realistic parents. And I don't think you always see that in young adult novels. Either, you know, the parents are dead or they're absentee or they're, I mean, even in Anna and the French Kiss, you had the dad, and while his motives weren't always pure, he meant well. And, like, then you have Etienne's mom and his dad and their involvement in things. And then when you get to Lola, you have her parents who...
Adorable parents.
Oh, my God. I love them. And, again, they weren't stereotypical. You know, they were a gay couple who basically adopted the one man's niece as their own because the mother couldn't handle it. And so it was fantastic. And at the same time, it wasn't a caricature of what that should look like. They were so real, and I loved them. I loved them on so many levels. They were fantastic. And again, like you said, with Isla's parents. So I love that there are parents in there who are flawed but are realistic, and just, it's another layer to what she's writing that brings it kind of all together, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Again, a lot of love. So plot and structure. This was very different. And what I found for me that was so refreshing about Isla was that in Anna and Lola, you have the two girls, we're introduced to them. Anna is single through the majority of her book. Well, there's that one guy, but he's not so great. And she kind of has this serious flirtation with Etienne, and it doesn't work out for them until the end of the book. In Lola, you have Lola, who's got this, again, not a great boyfriend, but Cricket returns, and there's, again, this kind of, like, flirtation thing. And, again, her and Cricket don't resolve until the end of the book. Then you get to Isla's story, and within the first five chapters, you're like, yes! Because they kind of resolve what's going on with them and figure it out. Although you know it's never going to, like, stick at the beginning, because really, if it's stuck at that point in time, how is that ever going to work itself out? You know, what kind of story is that? So it was structured differently, and I loved it. I loved that it was different. I loved how she kind of took on that, what happens when you find the one and it's the wrong time, because everything else in your world is changing too. You know, a senior in high school is so, it's a tricky place to be because you have so many choices to make. And for Isla especially, because Isla had no idea what she wanted to do. So, I don't know. What did you guys feel about the structure?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I know we talked about this a little on some previous episodes after I read it, but I think it really just goes along with, like, this being a more mature book. And the other two, like you said, it really ended with, like, oh, I got the guy, and, like, that's the end, you know, nothing could possibly go wrong now. Like, we've had all of the drama and then that's it. And it's like, that's really not how life works. Like, it just keeps going. And I liked that this book, especially because this book was called The Happily Ever After, that it really was like investigating what does that mean and like how does that come about. And, you know, sometimes just being in a relationship with the person that you're interested in, that's not enough. And, you know, you have to be like comfortable with yourself and with your friends and with your family. And, you know, like you said, Isla is going through a lot of changes. Josh is going through a lot of changes. Well, makes them sound like they're going through puberty, but like life changes, you know, at this time, like they all are. It's a very like transitional time in their lives. And I think that the kinds of issues that this was dealing with, you know, really about like what are they going to do with their lives? And, you know, what is it to like be in love with someone? Like, what is love? And how do you know if you're, you know, 18 or whatever? That was really interesting. And I really appreciated that she tried something different with this when she very easily could have stuck with like the tried and true structure that she used for the last two. And, you know, I liked that a lot. I think it suited the book. It felt like a natural progression as well from the past two.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that you said, because the first two books, while I loved them, one of the biggest problems I had with them was that it was based off of that trope of like there being a misunderstanding, and then that's where the drama comes from. And then once that misunderstanding is resolved, then everybody's happy. And to me, that's really frustrating. It really stresses me out. And I was really stressed out reading Anna, because you know in the end it's going to work out, but you have to muddle through all of these pages to get to that point. And it's just something that is hard for me to handle. But with Isla, it was so good because it was very smooth in the beginning. I mean, they still had to sort of come together and, you know, establish what kind of relationship they wanted and that sort of thing. But it was everything that I wanted from them, even up through the conflict in the end. I was like, okay, you know, there has to be something to make them break apart at some point, and then they'll get back together. But because she flipped it like that, it felt a lot more realistic. And like you were saying, once you get together, the drama doesn't end, and, you know, you don't live happily ever after. Like, there are still going to be problems, and the fact that she decided to explore those problems after a couple gets together, I think is just, I think it's really good for, like, compared to a lot of other books as well, that maybe more books should kind of follow this structure.
Yeah, and I what I also really liked about this was that she explored the fact that, like, if you're this age and you're in a relationship, like, it's probably a sexual relationship. And the other two books kind of edged around that a little. Again, like, it just felt more mature, and it just felt like, you know, again, if you're dealing with these characters, you would feel like, well, Josh is probably like, had sex with a lot of girls because, like, he's the bad boy sort of arty type. And Isla definitely would not have had sex with anyone because, like, she's the kind of innocent type. And again, like, both of those things were subverted. And the way that that was just, like, part of their relationship and, like, a natural course in their relationship, without all of the, like, angst and whatever that we often have, that kind of sometimes verges on, like, slut shaming in young adult books about, like, you know, not acknowledging the fact that, like, yes, a relationship you're in most likely is going to be a sexual relationship if you're this age. So I liked that that was part of that development as well, because, again, like, it just makes the characters feel realer, and it just makes the story feel realer. And it would have been a little obnoxious, I think, if she had, like, skipped around that, because she got away with it in the other two, because, like we said, it ended sort of right at that point when they got together. But because, like, two-thirds of this book was them being together, or, you know, after they'd got together, it's like that was just part of life. So I like that that was included.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point as well, because I think in Lola, it's Lola is sexualized in a way because of the boyfriend she's with, not necessarily with the boy she ends up with.
Right, but it's very much like it's not a healthy relationship.
No, it's not a healthy relationship in any way.
And sex is portrayed really positively in
not with that
in Lola.
No,
you know, or just like in general with like her mom and everything. Like, it's just very, you know, it's so I like that this was like kind of sex positive. I think that's good for young adult fiction.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so do you guys have a favorite scene from the book?
Tell us what yours is, Jen. Why don't you go first?
Thank you so much.
For me, my favorite scene is when she goes into Kismet the very first time and sees Josh, and she's like high on painkillers, and she's like, oh, hey, because had she not been, I don't think she would have ever spoken to him. And so that whole scene was just kind of like, you get to really see Isla with her guard down. And for some reason, I love that scene. And I think it's because that's the instant I was like, yep, I'm really going to like Isla. Like, I love it. Everyone loves that embarrassing moment that you get every now and then. And you're like, oh my God, what just happened? And so I really enjoyed that opening.
I have two, I guess. And like one I already talked about, but that was just when Isla goes home for the holidays and like we see all of her family and everything. I've just enjoyed that so much. I can't like overstate how much I really enjoyed that. But my second favorite would be their first date when they go to the art gallery and like the fancy party and that old lady is like, oh, like, and they go and see these really ridiculous exhibitions and it's like, what is this? What is happening? And just that whole night, that was, I felt like it showed a different side of like both of their characters. They seemed really fun and, you know, I really liked that one. That was a cute introduction to their ongoing dramas in their relationship as well.
Mine was, I have two as well. One's really short. It's just that moment when Josh sees Isla in her dress and then she describes him as melting. And it was just like, I could just imagine it. And it was so cute and adorable. And I loved it. I loved that he felt that way about her and wasn't afraid to show it. But I think my, like a bigger, more significant scene was when Isla was reading the book that he made at the end, the revised version, and the way that he showed his life, the ups and downs, the good parts and the bad parts. And even though it still made her feel a little uncomfortable, some of those sections, she saw why they were necessary, and she kind of, at that point, I think she was starting to feel even more confident in herself and in the way that she felt about him and he felt about her. And just to see it in writing and the way that he described like her going out into the street and what, like telling her what he wanted her to do when she finished reading the book was just really cute. And she went out there and it was so happy.
Can I just say, like, someone needs to make that a book? Like, Stephanie Perkins, yes. Hire an illustrator and, like, please. Make that, please, because I need to read that. Like, they were some of the, I mean, I don't cry really in books, and, like, I definitely didn't cry in this. It wasn't, like, a super sad book, but the bits where I was feeling, like, somewhat emotional were those scenes when Josh was, like, describing his life, because it was a really nice balance to Isla like describing her life for the entire book to see like how Josh thought about things. And I feel like when she was reading his, you know, autobiography, as it were, we really understood like the way that he sees things and like the way that he saw the people around him. And that was really insightful and like really interesting. And now I just want to read it all, please.
I want to see the part with the rabbits.
Yeah.
Because it was so funny how she was like, she was so mad about the rabbits.
Yeah, she was like, oh, rabbits.
And she couldn't stop thinking about them. Like every other sentence, it was just like rabbits, blah, 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 but, rabbits.
Like what was so funny about that to me was like, not only was she bothered because like she didn't want to read about her boyfriend having sex with his ex-girlfriend, but also she was just like, oh, it's like the most obvious metaphor ever. Like, it's a terrible metaphor. Like, this is awful.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you were destined to be an editor. Like, even at that point.
Yeah, she was not a happy, I was also going to say happy bunny about that, but you know what I mean? I was like, no, that's not right. She was definitely, I really kind of liked that part too, to an extent, because you're just like, oh my gosh, like what was he thinking, first of all? And what does she do with that now? Oh, wait, yeah, she goes and flips out on him. That's what she does with that. Like, there was, I don't know, there was something really interesting about that kind of whole, that whole sequence of scenes as well, I think, that I really enjoyed. As we all know, I enjoyed the whole damn thing, so.
Yeah.
It's all yeah. My favorite scene. My favorite
scene was the book.
Yeah.
You know, if she can't get somebody professional to make Josh's book, there should be some fan artists out there to do that. Because there's some really talented people who like doing these things. Right. Just throwing it out there. And if that happens, you should link us because, yeah, that would be awesome.
We'll write it up. We will do
that. So how did you guys like being back in Paris? Kind of, it caps it, yeah. You know what I mean, from one end to the next?
Yeah, it was cute. I liked it. I liked that it was a different kind of Paris because I feel like in Anna it was very much like the sort of touristy Paris because she hadn't ever been there and like whatever. And for Isla it was like, yeah, like this is where I live. This is kind of not a big deal. And that was nice.
Very good.
And just revisiting some of the characters that we've seen before. I mean, even if they weren't necessarily there, but just hearing about them. I mean, and at the end when the group of friends got back together, I really enjoyed that too.
I think it was really interesting to see Josh and Etienne and Anna and everyone through Isla's eyes because we've only ever seen them through Anna's eyes and kind of getting those firsthand interactions between Anna and the rest of them. So to see Isla kind of like observe them and talk about them in that way. It was really different. And I like that a lot too.
Oh my God. That scene when they're all together, like that is one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah. Also. You're like, oh wait, I remember now. So let's talk about that because that's kind of like the end of the book. And I think we've talked about everything else already when they're all together.
Sorry. I just want to say really quick. I also really like seeing Lola from the outside. That was really cool.
Yes. Yes. So they're all there. Lola and Cricket, and Anna, and Etienne, and Meredith, which is always cool, because I really liked Meredith as well. She kind of got the short straw in Anna, the French kiss a little bit. And then Josh is there with them, and he calls Anna to come meet them for pizza. And I think Anna's a little overwhelmed, not Anna, Isla is a little overwhelmed when she kind of shows up and they're all there. And it's kind of like, oh, okay. So what did you guys think? How did you... There's a lot going on with them because you have Lola and Cricket who are new to the group that Isla doesn't know. And then you have like the ever kind of romantic Anna and Etienne. So you kind of had this really weird balance of people. What did you guys think?
It was fun. It was cool seeing them all together. And I think above everything, I would really like to see a book with Meredith because I do feel like she got the short end of the stick there.
Yeah, I feel like Meredith now needs a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Meredith as well. I always liked Josh more in that book. But again, Meredith didn't do so well out of that whole situation.
Right, and I think that's why Meredith isn't as likable, is because of her reaction to some of the things.
Oh, no, I think she was very likable, but...
Right, but I mean, there were moments you're just like, dude, how did you not see that coming? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, come on, honey.
Well, she just wasn't, like, so much of a focus because Anna was, like, a little self-concerned, that whole thing. But, I mean, this scene was basically just, like, us seeing our old friends again, I felt like. I was like, there's Cricket and Lola. Like, oh, they're so cute. They just got together. And, like, oh, there's Anna and Eddie. And, like, oh, yeah, they're just, you know, doing the thing. And I liked how even though Isla was obviously, like, concerned about what was going on with her and Josh, we still, as you said, got to see all these characters from the outside point of view, like with Cricket and Lola. She's like, what is up with them? Like, what is, they are crazy. And Josh is like, oh yeah, circus came to town. Like, they're nuts. And I mean, Anna and Etienne are, you know, the same like perfect couple that they were always. And I feel like their resolution to their story was so sweet and so on point as well.
Yeah, that's like, what I was going to ask about next, because I was a little surprised it went there. I'm not going to lie.
I was surprised, but it makes sense as well, because I feel like it does, because them more than any of the others, like, you know, you get the sense with like Lola and Cricket that, you know, that's like true love, and like Isla and Josh is like true love. But But Anna and Etienne, the way it's set up is very much like once they're together, like that's it, you know? The whole drama in their relationship is like both of them are already too invested in this relationship that they're like not even in, that it just freaks them both out so much that they like can't do anything. And so I feel like, yeah, once they're together, they're in a way there kind of isn't anywhere else for their story to go. And the way that they were set up and we saw them in Lola as well. And, yeah, you know, having seen them in that, I think like it's a natural kind of progression for them. And it was so cute that they did it on Point Zero. I was like,
I know.
Adorable. And I liked how, you know, Josh like knew what was going on and was like, let's go. Cause you could just imagine Etienne being like, hey, like, guess what I'm going to do? And like, this is going to happen. And yeah, it was really, it was super cute.
Planned it out with his, you know, his friend and stuff.
That, yeah.
Like, with his BFF. I was going to say that.
Yeah. I love their relationship so much. Like the two guys, it's really, really sweet.
It is. And it's, I don't think you get enough like male friendships like that, that are kind of non-competitive. Do you know what I mean? Like, typically there's like this competitiveness about it. And so it's nice to see them as like these true friends. And I'll never forget, like Anna and the French Kiss, one of my favorite scenes is after the night that Etienne shows up at Anna's like drunk off his ass and he says how much he likes her. And then the next morning when it's Josh, Etienne and Anna sitting at the table and Etienne says, did I say anything last night? And I was like, no, you didn't. And Josh kind of just looks at her like, that's how you're gonna play it right now. And like there's that moment and Josh is just like, I'm not getting in the middle, you two are gonna have to figure it out. Like he stands back and kind of lets it go, but he's very much involved in that. And I think that's really like just interesting and fun to remember how he was involved in their relationship and like his friendship at the end and how that kind of worked out with them. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I just like all of the characters.
I know.
I like all their relationships with each other, but those two in particular, I think that's honestly why I liked Josh so much in Anna, was because of their friendship was like really, just really lovely. And like you said, it wasn't competitive. Like they were both, and the point is made in Isla as well, in when she's reading Josh's book, that like, you know, he was kind of in awe and a little jealous of Etienne's charisma, and then he was jealous of Josh's talent, but it didn't, right, but it didn't like get in the way of their friendship. Like they both can acknowledge that, you know, they're like kind of in awe of the other's skills that they don't possess, but yeah, their friendship was always just really sweet and really sincere. And even in that scene together, when Isla like notices, you know, they hug and it's like a real hug. It's not like this weird man hug that people do where they're like, oh, we're not really touching.
The one arm pat on the back.
Yeah. She was like, no, that's like a real hug. And it's like, yeah, it's just, I just really enjoy their friendship a lot. So kind of for me, that was the nicest part of seeing them all together. You know, like it's obviously nice to see all the couples, but that friendship is really sweet.
Definitely, definitely. So do you guys have anything else that you want to talk about for these books?
It's going to take all of my willpower not to open this book again and read it right now.
Just do it.
Just do it. Go ahead. You've got time. That pretty much wraps up this episode of Book Hype, which was basically the Stephanie Perkins Love Fest. Yeah. So we would love to hear what you guys think, of course, about any of the books, about Isla, just because I'm always curious what other people think, because we know what we think, and we are all very similar in our opinion, which is so weird.
It is weird, but also, like, I have not seen a single person be like, oh, I really didn't like this book, such a letdown, so.
Yeah, no, it's rare to see that, I think, with any of her books.
Yeah.
So, I did see some people say that, that Isla was their least favorite, and I'm like,
Well, I can understand.
I know.
It's the most different. So, like, I can understand people might have a strong reaction to that by being like, oh, it's not what I expected, but just read it again, and then you'll be like me and be like, this is the best book ever. maybe not best ever, but pretty great. It's pretty great.
Up there. Yeah, so definitely tell us what you guys think. Of course, you can reach us on Twitter at Book Hype and leave comments in the posts because we're always checking them. Next week, our episode is going to be a fall book preview, so you guys can hear about all the things that are coming out this fall that you should definitely be marking your calendar for. And we also have some really cool tour information for a couple different authors coming up as well, which is super exciting. So definitely keep an eye on hypeable.com for all of that stuff, as well as the fall book preview. And if you guys have any books that you think people should absolutely be reading this fall, please leave that in the comments, because we're only a couple people. We can't pick out like every book. So we always love to hear what you guys have to think, because many of you read different things than we do. And it's always great to have a nice variety of books to talk about.
Yeah. And we don't have a book picked out for our next like book club discussion, I don't think. So if you have a suggestion of a book you wanted us to talk about, you could leave that there too. Because we're always happy to hear what you guys would like us to discuss.
This is true. So,
oh, we'll just talk about this one again next month.
Yeah, so you guys better suggest things. Yeah. Otherwise, it could be a long fall.
It'll just be a rotation through the works of Stephanie Perkins.
So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Emma.
Bye, guys.